Welcome to The Difference, the podcast that sits at the intersection of politics and economics. Dan O'Donnell here. I tend to handle the politics, and I defer to my great friend Dave Spano, the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management, for economics. I'll tell you, Dave, this past weekend, I did not make the very best investments in my family's financial future. Let's just say craps is, it's got a terrible rate of return. I am just saying, you know, it was not paying dividends. The high dividend blackjack tables were not, I had a lot of fun. And just to be clear, I know I joke about this. I'm not a big gambler, and I never, ever, ever gamble more than I can afford to lose. And I just go, like everybody does. I think it's, you budget. You know, you go to Las Vegas, say, okay, I'm going to spend this much today on the blackjack tables. And sometimes you spend a little more, and sometimes you spend a little less the next day to balance it out. So it is very important to
Did you play blackjack? What games did you play?
Oh, yeah. I play, my buddies are all huge into craps. Right. And we've been going for, this was our third year. It's just become like an annual trip. We decided to go 1 year almost on a whim for a golf trip. Well, then a bunch of other friends wanted to come. So we had a great group of about 12 guys that come. My brother's one of them, and we have a bunch of mutual friends. My old radio partner, Jeff Falconio, hosted a sports show with him for many, many years. He's kind of in our friend group now. And we just have fun. They love playing craps because, you know, it's a fun table game where pretty much everybody wins on the same roll. So it's a lot of fun. So I play
a lot
craps.
Of yelling.
I do play blackjack. A lot of yelling.
That's always the loud table.
It is. It is always the loud table because there's so many, you know, swings. Yeah. It's almost like the stock market, right? You can have massive changes in your fortune.
Come on. Let's not compare that to craps, for gosh sake.
No, it's not. No, I'm not saying it's like a total roll of the dice. My point is that you can be up 15% in a week. Right. You can be down 15% for a month. Eventually, it all just sort of evens out. No, I'm not saying investing your money.
When you play blackjack, do you have a theory? Are you sitting in third base? Are you playing the right way? Come on, I'm really interested in this.
I am. I usually play the right way with some exceptions. Sometimes I'll just play a hunch. Like if a dealer is showing a bust card like a 3, and I get dealt like a 14. I know the book. Well, actually, I think the book says you stand on that, but I'll typically stand. Sometimes I'll just get a hunch and say, okay, I'm going to bet the wrong way. I'll only do that with my friends at the table. Right. I don't play. See, I'm playing like $10, $15 hands. $25 is pretty much the standard minimum now, unfortunately.
It's always the guy who's on the corner who just goes berserk because you played wrong way, right?
Yes, he does. And it's like, so I'll never actually sit down. You can kind of, when you're walking to a table, you can sort of see, I'm like, okay, well, this guy is going to make a big stink if I'm just, you know, having fun and whatever. But yeah, normally I'll play. I do like video poker, but blackjack, craps. I did make some good money playing roulette, which is fun because, you know, it's like these games, you can sit there and you spread your money across the inside of the betting on roulette. You can sit there and, you know, have a couple of free drinks, talk to your buddies, and, you know, a good half hour, and you might be up $10, down $10. It's definitely a slow bleed, it is. It's always fun. I mean, you know,
having fun with it. But I have to tell you, it's really, you're on point with that, because I was looking at Predictit this morning, and Predictit now has the odds of Biden equal to winning the election with Trump. And that's all changed, Dan, since the last week of March, a significant move in Predictit and all of these things coming together. And so we're going to have to watch this. I think you're going to see the odds of these two flying back and forth based on the news cycle of the day. Of course, we know that Trump is in New York in trial this week, and we'll have to see if that has anything to do with how Predictit reacts. But of course, we're looking not only at the names Biden and Trump, but the companies that would do better under a Trump election win or a Biden election win. And we're starting to see that. For example, multinationals were starting to rally as Biden got better, because the idea that Trump is going to be more of an isolationist. And so we're starting to see names, especially foreign names, do better now that Biden is doing better. I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
My guess is that the reason that we're seeing the predicted odds sort of separate, last I saw was like 53 cents, and it's these aren't odds. It's not like 53% chance Trump wins. Right. It's, you know, I'm seeing Biden at 53 cents and Trump at 46 cents. And when the odds started to separate, remember, these were real tight for the better part of maybe a month and a half. Trump was actually leading by a decent margin.
Right.
In February, I would say. What we're seeing, I think, here's my guess. A, what's being factored in is Trump's criminal trials.
Yep.
You also have a whole lot of Bobby Kennedy Jr. voters, I think, are coming home.
I agree with that.
The flirtation with the third-party candidacy, and I think the realization that if Bobby Kennedy really does get 18 to 20% of the vote in key swing states, Biden probably doesn't have a chance of winning.
Yep.
So I think from the Democrat perspective, electing Trump would be, you know, the worst thing in the world. It would be like Hitler coming to power. So you've got people who I think would be more likely to flirt with a Bobby Kennedy run being Democrat, or at least being more likely to vote in line with Democrats, because of course Kennedy is a traditional Democrat. He's probably got the most famous name in Democrat politics, arguably American political history. And when you have people, I think, getting closer to the election, this is a natural phenomenon. This happens every single cycle. You see people saying, okay, I'm not actually going to vote for Bobby. Last thing I want to do. And they've probably got their friends in their ear saying, look, if you vote for Kennedy, you're going to be, you know, contributing to Trump's win. I'm thinking it's just them coming home.
Yeah,
more than any geopolitical
event. But if you bring
it
down, if you bring it down from 18 down to 9%, Trump still was up 2% according to the Real Clear Politics average. So you look at that, but there, you know, there's three things that are happening that are going to make a choice, which is it a referendum or is it a choice? I mean, are you choosing one versus the other? And of course, it's always voting for the other guy, right? Hold your nose and vote for the other guy. That's going to be part of the conversation. But the economics, and I want to bring it back there, those variables, that is really going to be really important. You know, the misery index, which is, of course, inflation plus unemployment together, if that stays where it's at and it looks like inflation is becoming stickier, that is not good. The misery index being up and perhaps oil prices headed higher are not going to be good for the incumbent. And then lastly, of course, is what happens in the swing states. And right now, as of today, you know, the day we're recording this, he's winning. Trump is winning in every one of those swing states. It might be it might be in a margin of error, but right now it's polling at least positive for him.
Yeah, I'm thinking we did get something happen in one of those swing states that makes it very, very difficult. And that is Arizona, where the Supreme Court came back and reinstated Arizona's law from the 1800s.
Right.
In the wake of Dobbs v. Jackson nearly 2 years ago overturning Roe v. Wade. If that energizes voters, especially younger females who are more likely to vote Democrat, as we've seen even in Republican states, remember, everywhere abortion has been on the ballot, even in incredibly conservative states like Ohio and Kansas, of all places, voters have said, we want abortions. We want more abortions than I think Republicans, many of them, would be comfortable beyond a 12-week threshold or something like that.
Right.
If this, in fact, impacts Arizona and it makes it more difficult for Trump to win that state, I have a feeling it's going to be, no matter what else happens, very, very difficult for him to win nationally.
Right. Unless he takes a stand, Dan, on abortion and comes up with 15 weeks with, you know, the three or four exceptions. You know, if he comes out and has that, and of course this is a dangerous conversation, I understand that. But
the problem is you would face such a revolt from the pro-life crowd. And then you've got to wonder, though, are the pro-lifers going to say, because from their perspective, electing Joe Biden to a second term would be damaging on every other issue as well. I mean, you want 4 more years of unchecked inflation. It became clear from last week's consumer price index reading that we are nowhere near getting inflation under control? Is it 3.5 year over year? I mean, we had a huge, hot inflation reading. Illegal immigration. I mean, just completely porous open borders. So then the pro-lifers are going to have to say, well, do we really want, can we stomach a president who's okay with a 15-week abortion? This is why this
Versus immigration is going to be part of the conversation, obviously.
It is, but this is why this has been such a political nightmare for Republicans. It's because, unfortunately, they're on the wrong side of the abortion issue. They may be morally right, but they are politically wrong. More people want abortions, and that's sort of the issue that we're going to face. I don't know if it's going to matter, because what the argument against Trump is going to be is, look, he is the president whose justices, he got 3 of the 9, his justices are the ones that overturned Roe v. Wade, and all 3 of them, of course, voted to overturn it in Dobbs v. Jackson. So this is a very, very difficult thing for him. My guess is that abortion is not going to be a major issue come November. However, if just enough people are voting on that, especially in a critical state like Arizona, which, by the way, when Arizona went to Biden in 2020, that was essentially it. Trump did not have a path to victory once, remember, Fox News called Arizona for Biden very, very early, it turned out. But he did win Arizona. And if he doesn't win this time around, he would basically have to sweep Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And if Arizona goes to Biden, I would think that's not particularly likely.
Yeah. So it's certainly going to be a lot to talk about. I know it's still April and we're 6 months away, 6 months plus of probably nauseatingly talking about the same conversation. But let's switch topics here for the last couple of minutes and talk about earnings reports are starting to come out. The banks reported early and, you know, some good names came out and beat their expectations. And that's really going to be the story over the next number of weeks is, did they beat their expectations? Because the expectations were lower because of last year's debacle. We're going to look at that and say, how are these companies going to do? And those companies that beat are going to get rewarded. So the next number of weeks, we're going to probably see a number of names that do pretty well, and those companies that miss are probably going to get beat down pretty well. So that's the reason why we go through all of these portfolios and say, what are our expectations going forward? Energy and defense stocks still getting a lot of volume, of course, because of the geopolitical risk. And of course, energy prices headed higher as we go into driving season. That is not something that we haven't seen before. So that's the reason why we're going to take a look at all of this stuff. And back to where we started, of course, is the undercard of all of these things. Khomeini versus Netanyahu, has this gone away, or is it just taking a breather? And of course, Zelensky versus Putin, that continues to go on. So lots to talk about over the next couple of months. Most importantly, Dan, what is in a portfolio? I mean, it really matters. We see people come in every single day, and it's a mishmash. You know, they have an account here, an account there. It's crazy how people have put these portfolios together. Let's have a plan. Let's make sure it's customized to you. Let's make sure that your portfolio is customized what you're trying to get done.
Yeah, and that's why we always recommend that you go to annexwealth.com to get a review of your portfolio. Hey, speaking of those stocks that are likely to get hammered, did you see Tesla cutting 10% of its global workforce?
Well, EV story, right? I mean,
right. This was a company that was the darling of the stock market for, 5 years?
Yep.
I mean, when it started its run in 2018, something like that.
There's another political argument. I mean, how are you going to get to EV numbers that Biden wants over the next 6 years? It's not possible. It's not going to happen.
No, it's we don't have the infrastructure to support that, either physical or with the expected strain on the grid. And this is why, you know, Detroit, the U.S. automakers have said, hey, look, we need more time to do this, President Biden. And anytime the government essentially has to mandate the sale of a product, chances are that product hasn't quite taken off. Now, we had thought that Tesla would be the one to do it, but even there are some limits for that. And of course, Elon Musk basically ticking off every hippie liberal Tesla driving Californian in the universe with his posts on X probably isn't helping. What you'd need to do, though, in periods of uncertainty, as I was saying, head to annexwealth.com, any period, really, to help you understand better what you own and why you own it. For Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex, I'm Dan O'Donnell. You've been listening to The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, LLC, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of the podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be construed as tax, legal, or investment advice, or a recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management, LLC, nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.